coolest stepdad and coolest wedding singer ever, smack dab on the heart of the front page of the Tampa Bay Times, Paul McCartney sings with Phase 5, a band that reigns from Tampa. And the gentleman who was quoted in the Times today, Josh Walther, is with me now. Hi, Josh. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I am, well, I'm good, but not as good as you, because I haven't played with a Beatle, and you have, which is pretty amazing. I want you to try to walk me through this best you can. Now, you heard from Paul's wife, Nancy, about a year ago, but actually about a month before the gig, she called and had some questions. Did the reality, Josh, start to set in that, hey, man, we might actually see Paul McCartney at this gig? When did that reality start to set in?
I don't think something like that ever really sets in. It's just sort of one of those things where you hear about something and you don't really believe it's going to happen. I don't know if you can believe that it's going to happen.
Right.
I think if your mind was able to process that that would really happen, I don't think you would, you know, be able to do anything else. So.
Well, he being the biggest rock star on the planet, I know I've often said that if there is a Mount Rushmore of rock and roll, Paul McCartney certainly is there. So you're doing the gig this past Saturday night, correct?
Yeah, okay. This past Saturday night.
Okay, and it's over in Orlando at Winter Park, and it's for Paul's stepson's graduation. When was your first sighting of Paul that evening?
The first sighting of him was we started playing, and you know, the room was pretty full of guests, but everyone was, it was kind of like your typical cocktail reception. Everyone was, you know, at the bar or at the buffet line having hors d'oeuvres and kind of catching up behind the dance floor. So the band was on the other side of the dance floor, and then no one was really in that area yet. They were just sort of milling around. We had DJ Poppy playing as guests were entering and sort of just chatting and having like a cocktail hour.
So there he was having a beverage, and when you guys actually spotted him, did it take the energy level of the band, or, I mean, did it bump things up a notch? Is like, hey man, there's a Beatle in the audience. We got to be at the top of our game.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, up until that moment, I still didn't believe that he was actually going to be there. I thought we always hear that we're going to be playing for somebody, or somebody's the cousin of somebody, or, you know, and we hear we're going to be playing, you know, for these people, and we never really meet them or interact with them. So I didn't really have much faith that he would actually be there enjoying the party. And we started playing, and he was the first person on the dance floor. That's actually the first time we saw him.
Wow.
We were playing Get Lucky by Daft Punk, and it was the first song in the set, and he, within a minute and a half of the song, he was the first one on the dance floor.
Wow.
He had his video camera in his hand, just like a typical dad, and he was on the dance floor. His wife followed, and then everybody else, of course, got on the dance floor as soon as they could.
Wow. So this is in the earlier part of the evening, I assume, and the evening goes on. And I'm going from notes in the newspaper here. Certainly feel free, Josh, at any time to correct me. But at some point in the evening, I'm assuming somewhere in the middle of the night, or he comes up and says, hey, would it be cool if I joined you guys for a couple? Is that what he said?
Yeah, that's exactly what he said. We had finished our first set. DJ Poppy was back on. We were about to go take a break, get something to eat, and he just walked up and said, hey, would you guys mind if I joined you on a few?
You know, I'm trying to contemplate that moment, Josh. I got to be honest with you. I would be apoplectic. I would be shaking. All the above. I mean, the response would be just, you know, I would be literally out of my skin, because you and the band, you know, I mean, the rest of your lives, you will always have, if you're ever at a cocktail party, whether it be playing or anything else, I mean, you have that now. You have the trump card in any conversation. I played with Paul McCartney. That's pretty heavy stripes, my friend.
Yeah, it doesn't get any better than that. At 34, I don't think I'll see anything
No.
in my lifetime that will top that.
So, and I'm understanding he asked if you knew or some Beatle tunes, and I'm looking at the what you guys said to him. I think one was Yesterday, one was Come Together, one was In My Life. A couple of those are really Lennon tunes. Can't Buy Me Love, that is a McCartney tune. And then you said he asked if you knew I Saw Her Standing There, and you said, no, that's not in our repertoire, and you said he was kind of bummed.
He wasn't bummed. I don't know where that came from.
Okay, okay.
But he chuckled, laughed, and he was like, it's real easy, man, you know, in his Paul McCartney voice.
Oh, man.
And he sort of gave us a lesson, and, you know, in the song, I think he might have even shouted out some chords to Stephen, our piano player, when we were playing it.
Wow.
But we got the charts offline. We looked up the charts. We hoped that they were correct and played the song for him, and it was perfect. We have audio on our website of the song and the full performance of both songs.
Josh, give me that website right now so we can plug it. Go ahead.
It's phase5band.com. PHASE, the number 5, and then BAND.com.
Okay.
If you scroll down to our SoundCloud music section, like the third or fourth song on there says Graduation Song with Paul McCartney, and then I Saw Her Standing There with Paul McCartney.
Cool. Now, I'm going to ask you, so he mentions I Saw Her Standing There, and you guys were about to go to break. During break, and your keyboard guy, by the way, was astute enough to say, yeah, I think we could probably put that together. Sure. And then during your break, did you guys do like a mini jam session in your head, going, okay, guys, we got to pull this together. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Did you kind of look at some of the chords then and try to put it together?
You know, actually, our break was so short, we really didn't have time to. Stephen pulled up the charts. We got something to drink. I had to change my shirt. It was soaked because I was sweating. We really didn't have time, and they were asking us to come back and take the stage. And, I mean, we didn't have time to think about anything.
Good. Well, that's probably just as well, because maybe in the back of your mind, it's like, you know, this could be the best moment of this band's career, or it could be the worst moment of this band's career.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
So up he comes, and I understand you guys did kind of a blues number. Is that right?
Yeah, he asked the guys if they could do a 12 bar blues progression. And of course they could do that. So we did that. And, it was so cool. He just started, you know, making up words to the song, and he was cueing the band on stops, you know.
Wow.
When to do the stops, and it was crazy. He had instructed Samantha and I. Sam's our girl singer. He had instructed us to do background vocals. He said, like, when I get to the end of a line, like if I say graduation, you know, you just repeat graduation. And I remember him saying, you know, kind of like they did in the old days.
Go ahead.
Yeah, having him as our band director.
Oh man.
You know, for those few moments was pretty incredible.
Yeah. I can imagine, but yet I can't. So you do that number and then you did I Saw Her Standing There?
And then we did I Saw Her Standing There. Yeah.
And the crowd went wild, of course, and you guys
the
are
crowd
yeah.
Went.
One of the things I read somewhere, it wasn't in the Times, but it was another source that I looked at that said that his wife had to pull him off stage. She was willing to stay up for a few more, huh?
he was really just having a good time, you know. And I think she just wanted to ensure that he was relaxed and having a great time.
They were
great people, and you know, he wanted to be a dad, but he wanted to have fun too, and it was just. It was just such an awesome experience.
Now, we've been talking about, you know, you, Josh, and, you know, how it impacted you, how you felt. How about the other guys in the band and your female lead singer? Did they realize the magnitude of this?
Yeah, they really did. Every musician in our band comes from a different, you know, time period.
Mm-hmm.
So it's amazing to see the effect that the Beatles and Paul McCartney has on someone like myself, who's 34, mm-hmm. who's younger than I am. And then we have Watts, who's our bass player, and he is, you know, older than all of us. So mm-hmm. it's really cool to see the effect that the Beatles have on every age demographic.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah, they span multiple generations, and their music is so evergreen, and everybody, you know, holds it so dear. When you guys were crashing the equipment, putting it back, and packing up, did you say to yourself, "What just happened here? What just happened? I mean, we jammed with a Beatle. Did it start to set in towards the end?"
We weren't really talking about it. I mean, we were just sort of like quiet. Packing up very slowly. Everyone was just sort of like in shock. I don't think there was any way to really take it all in at that point. I still don't think there's any way to take it all in. I mean, I've seen the stories in the papers today, and I've seen the interviews on TV, and I've done all of the interviews and been on the radio, and it's like I still can't really perceive that actually happened. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's almost surreal in some ways.
The coolest thing about it to me, other than the fact that, you know, I got to play with Paul McCartney, is seeing how it affects the people that I've come in contact with.
Sure.
Since then, I mean, you know, normally when you are talking to a reporter or someone, it's like, I feel like they're thinking, okay, this is another job, I got to get the story. But with this, like, you can see in their eyes that they are just so excited to talk about it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they've impacted so many lives, and that music is just, the catalog is just so, so near and dear. I often say the Beatle music, and you being a millennial, Josh, won't relate to this, but that Beatle catalog and so much of their music is like nursery rhymes for baby boomers, is what that stuff is.
Completely, completely.
So, let me ask you this. In the article, you mentioned that in the future, you know, when some sort of wedding is happening and the best man is doing a toast to using the microphone for that Paul McCartney used, have you been tempted at all? So, you know what? I'm going to rethink that. I think I'm going to put this microphone under a glass case and just look at it every now and then and say that was that microphone that he was on for a while.
You know, I don't think so. That microphone is... You know, I've used that microphone for years, and I love using that microphone. And I think that, you know, I just think every time I pick it up now, it's going to be a whole different,
no doubt,
experience. Yeah, and I mean, why not share that with everyone?
Did he obviously did photos with the band? Was he open to signing anything, or you guys probably had the grace not to ask?
No, we just didn't ask. We knew it was bigger than a picture with him.
Sure,
you know?
Sure. Well, you'll have that for the rest of your life. And like I said, Josh, I want to, first of all, thank you for taking time out of your schedule. I know there are a lot of folks who have been after you today, but that is going to be a story that you will hold near and dear and tell often in your life. Trust me.
Definitely. Thank you so much.